to make a healthy down payment and win either way. Disclaimer, plan fund is no guarantee of future fund if your paper profits disappear overnight.
For the rest of your life.
Check us out at BeyerleyRV.com, Eureka, Missouri.
Hey, St. Louis, it's Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks now has a whole new way to get your groceries. Schnucks Delivers now offers curbside pickup. So if you don't want to go in the store and can't find a good time for home delivery to arrive, just order your groceries at SchnucksDelivers.com or on the Schnucks Rewards app. SchnucksDelivers.com. Head to Schnucks, stay in your car, listen to Cardinals baseball, and have a friendly Schnucks teammate bring the groceries out to you. Curbside pickup, available on SchnucksDelivers.com.
At Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, our mission is to provide our fans, racers, and sponsors with a first-class and up-close personal racing experience. This includes unprecedented access to the drag strip, the oval, the road racing track, and a nationally sanctioned karting track, plus special events such as concerts and corporate functions for year-round activities. And it's all just 5 minutes from downtown. For more information, visit WWTRaceway.com or call 618-215-8888.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. During winter months, furnace heat can cause your home to be drier than the Sahara Desert. Low humidity can cause painful dry skin, itchy eyes, and sore throats. And dry air can warp and crack the woodwork and hardwood floors in your home and give you those annoying static shocks. I had Design Air install a humidifier in my home this winter and already noticed an improvement. Contact Design Air, the official HVAC provider of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, to find out more about adding a humidifier to your home.
This is Doug Vaughn here to tell you to call my friends Mark and Neil Gelman of Coldwell Banker Premier. Mark and Neil's incredible marketing strategy sells more homes over $500,000, all with five-star reviews. Find the Gelmans online at 590homes.com and start packing.
Certain restrictions apply.
Hey, join us as we celebrate inclusion and social change through our Hockey is for Everyone watch party. Fans are invited at Enterprise Center on March 24th to watch the Blues take on the Capitals from Washington. Fans will have the best view in the city as they watch the game on their center-hung scoreboard in a home game-like atmosphere. Admission is just $10, and proceeds will benefit participating organizations and Blues for Kids. For more information and to learn how your group can earn $5 per ticket sold for your organization, go to stlouisblues.com/HIFE.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex. Rosalita's offers a full menu of both food and drinks. Try their signature tableside guacamole made right in front of you or piled high nachos. They have a full array of classic Mexican dishes and even more modern specialties, including their Cadillac fajitas. The house margaritas are the best in town, and the specialty margaritas will have you coming back time and time again. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, downtown on Washington Avenue or on Manchester Road, just west of 270.
Denise here from Appliance Discounters. Let's talk GE Appliances. First of all, what do you prefer? Professional and European? Restaurant-inspired? Modern with clean lines? Now you can choose any inspiration with the GE product line, as well as a variety of finishes like stainless steel, black stainless, slate, and black slate, and they're all on display at any of the Appliance Discounters locations. As always, get them for the lowest price and with rebates up to $1,500 on select packages. Shop the locally owned Appliance Discounters with six showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
This is Diana with Neustetter's Fine Jewelry. This year we're celebrating 50 years in business. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives for over half a century. It's because of you that our small family business thrives in St. Louis. From our family to yours, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Are your workouts more fun than this?
Well, if they are, then I want to sign you to an endorsement deal with Michelob Ultra. I'm looking for anyone and everyone who makes working out a blast. If that's you, hit to TeamUltra.com for a chance to score awesome perks like Team Ultra gear and more. That's TeamUltra.com to enter.
No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents 21 plus. See official rules at TeamUltra.com. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Patrick Kelly, and I want to introduce you to the Schnucks Athlete of the Week. Every week, Schnucks and 590 will highlight the story of a local athlete excelling both athletically and academically. Every week, you can vote through Wednesday on your favorite high school athletes of the week on 590thefan.com, and each Friday, the winner's unique story will be told. Voting will then start over the next week when a new Athlete of the Week is chosen. Check it out on 590thefan.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to.
I know that I know, I should know the answer to this. Is this me singing or Willie? I've asked this before.
You know, I can't actually tell the difference. I cannot tell the difference.
There you go. There you go.
This rover.
Greatest generation, my ass. Tom Brokaw is a punk.
I'll be rich and
my favorite movies.
Oh, such a good movie. Instant classic.
Long sunny side of the street.
The management came to us and asked us if we could go on 12 hours a day since all sports are postponed.
Yes.
Man.
My dream has come true.
Yeah.
This is our time to shine.
It is. All these years we've begged for more time on the air, and they limit us. Now we get our shot. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the March 12th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I heard a song yesterday. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's called Ode to Billy Joe. It was by Bobby Gentry.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
I listened to it yesterday, and in the song, if I remember, they point out that the 12th of March is another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was a 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
I guess I should have listened to it twice. I messed that part up. I got the sleepy, dusty Delta day part right. So look, there's a lot that we probably should kick around here in this hour, and a lot of it has to do with this coronavirus, which I think everybody now realizes is really a big deal and a mess, and it's going to mess up a lot of things. And there will, as is the case when there's a war, there will be businesses and people who benefit from this, but there'll be more people whose lives are devastated, and it is just getting started. I'm not a panic person, and I will never panic over this or lose any sleep thinking, oh, I'm going to get the coronavirus, but everybody is going to be affected. And for anybody who thinks, well, it doesn't affect me, you're naive and you're wrong. It'll affect everybody. So let's do the Burke segment. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Like to introduce, I always want to say from Great Britain, but you're really not. You're from the good old USA, born here and smartly came back here. Ladies and gentlemen, Limey Phillips.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Oh, please.
Wow.
Thank you. Wow.
Unbelievable.
I mean, wow, what a warm crowd. I'm so loved.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I'm now taking an algebra class in school, okay? And part of that is you have to, like, when you're taking an exam to show that you haven't cheated, you actually have to write down by hand your calculations and work them out, right? Mm. Then you have to take a picture of those calculations and send them to the teacher as proof that you did it. And this is my first math class in almost 20 years, and I have completely forgotten how when you write it down, how to divide a number by another number on a piece of paper. I know you have to do that, like, you write, say, like, you know, you write the number 3, and then you do the divided by, or whatever it is, the line, and then you put your number in there, and that's as far as I can get.
I just tutored him in the studio.
Yeah, but you before. Tutored me, and it was just easy ones. It was like 10 divided. It was like 100 divided by 10. That's easy.
That's the only ones I know.
I know, but
yeah, you also probably tutored him in the way that you were taught in 1960.
Right,
and they do it all differently now.
No, I've already told my math teacher that I am not doing Common Core mathematics. I don't know how to do that. That wasn't how I was taught. I'm not going and learning everything in maths all over again just to make my teacher happy. Screw that.
First of all, Dan Strauss is the worst mathematician in the history of talk radio, and you had him tutor you on math. That'd be like me teaching a yoga class.
Watch him get an A.
Good example.
Watch him get an A.
Why did you go to Dan? Or did Dan
work out a problem? No, I was just talking about it. I was like, so this is going to be my Burke segment for the day. And he was like, oh, okay, I know that. But what I want is like a complex number to divide by, because I know that there are several different steps. You know, you got to like, okay, so this number goes into this number so many times, and then that number goes into that number, I think. But which number do you work out into which number, basically?
The next one in line.
Okay, so hang on a sec. So give me a calculation. I'm going to write this out. So we can, and oh, hang on a second. Somebody's calling up. Maybe it's a maths teacher. If there is a maths teacher out there, if you can explain it to me like I am a five-year-old, that would just be fantastic. I mean,
while the teacher's at it, maybe if you can actually just explain algebra to me, the whole thing, because I never got it. I still don't get it.
Algebra, I'm starting to get. I was actually pretty good at that in high school, and now I'm getting refreshed in the rules and stuff like that. I'm doing okay. So
what's the point of algebra? Is it just to make your brain work?
I think it's so you can learn how to solve complex issues and how you can find the actual true number of it.
I've been around a long time, and in my life, I've never solved a problem with algebra.
Well, there's letters involved. How did letters get involved in math?
Well, that's where, like, a letter is there when you've got to try and find the true value and of something. So, like, I can understand that, and it's all about the complex equations. You've got this thing, was it, please, so it's PEMADS, I think.
What the heck is that name?
That just means like, there's a saying for it, my dear Aunt Sally or something like that. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. And that is where you work on different parts of the calculation together.
You understand that lots of people like me right now have no idea.
Yeah, I know. I'm confusing everybody. What is it?
We got a call, and I haven't. Yeah. We'll take this call. But what is it exactly you're looking for?
Okay.
What
I want is to be able to write down how to divide a number by another number on a piece of paper and show that I actually did it on a piece of paper and not using a calculator.
You do realize that if you get a call over the phone. Well, without the person in front of you, this is going to be
I know it's going to be tricky, and I am sorry. So what we're going to do is just kind of like, I'm going to try my best to figure it out. What was that?
Will is not calling about math.
Well, then let's talk to Will then. Why not?
Okay, we'll talk to Will, and then maybe we'll go back to math. Will, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
How you doing, Frank? AM and the PM. Yesterday, I was telling Dan a story about the other day when he was talking about people who got found with money on them and they seized it.
Right.
I was in my car, well, my wife and I was doing tree work at the time, and I had over $8,000 with me. It was 10:30 at night, and the police officer coming out of the 7-Eleven there saw us counting the money, and he tapped on the window, and he goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "I'm counting money. We're getting dinner." It was like 10:30 at night, so they had us get out of the car. They cuffed me, take the money. And I had receipts in the car from the tree work that we had did that week because we were saving up, staying in a hotel waiting to get into our house.
Right.
And they tried to confiscate that money.
When did this happen? How long ago did this happen?
Oh, this happened several years ago. But I was telling Dan, and you guys were talking about a topic where some money was taken. So I didn't get the chance to tell it yesterday.
So let me ask you a question. They cuffed you. Did they Did they take you to the
police?
They
put me in the car and asked me why I had $8,500 in cash with me. I also had about $1,400 in checks, but I had receipts and work orders from tree jobs that I did, $500, $1,800, $1,600. And they said, why didn't you money in the bank?
And then how long did it take before they cut you loose and said, sorry, we realize, okay, now it's legit, you can go home? How long did they...
My wife's mother worked at Pattonville School District at the time, and she was friends with the police that worked there also in the substation. She had called her mother, told them the story, and they called them, and next thing you know, they had let me go and gave us back our property. But I almost lost that money.
That is absolutely wrong. That's just flat out wrong.
So.
There are a lot of people. Look, there are a lot of people who work for cash in the service industry.
Absolutely. So what do you do in a situation like that?
So they assumed that you were doing...
A drug dealer.
Yeah, you're probably
Basically a drug dealer.
Just because you had cash. And this is the United States of America. If you have $100,000 and you want it all in cash, that's your business. That's your business. I think you need more than just cash to be suspicious of somebody being a drug dealer. I think that's what a horrible story. And I've heard it from other people besides you, that if you have what they deem to be an unusual amount of cash, more cash than most people would have, then you automatically are suspect. Wow, that's wrong. It's just wrong.
That
and seizing, you're lucky they didn't keep it, because I've read cases where they kept it for like 6 months.
Right. No, we were very lucky, and if it hadn't been for her mother knowing who she knew, I probably would have never saw that money again.
Wow.
And you know, Frank, the thing is, in the back of the truck was all my chainsaws and climbing gear, and I had sawdust all over me. It was just a late day finishing up a big oak tree, and the lady happened to give us a bunch of cash and in part check, and we appreciated that because until we can get our house, we were in a hotel. So.
Well, I was actually paid. I think this is the only time in the radio business I was paid in cash. But I was paid, and it's an advertiser from years ago that people would know. They'd know the name. And this guy loved cash. And so I remember going to his office, and he said, come by, and I'll pay you for the... I'd recorded some stuff for him. And so he gives me $10,000 in cash. I mean, like just a wad of money. And I thought, this is fantastic. But had I been stopped on the way home, I would have had what happened to you happen to me. And I think it's wrong. It was a legitimate transaction. I did the work. That's how he chose to pay me. It's up to me to claim it or not on my taxes. And beyond that, it's nobody's business.
Right.
And particularly vulnerable are older people in RVs. I know a couple older people that have RVs, and when they travel and hit the road, they're on the road for two or three months.
Yeah.
They got a pile of cash with them.
Yeah.
That's a good story. I'm glad you shared it.
I appreciate the show. You guys are cut up every day.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Will. You too. Thank you. Oh, wow.
Wow.
I guess the moral there is don't count your money in the car when you're sitting in the car. Wait till you're somewhere. Go in the bathroom.
Yeah, right. Wait until it's a little bit more private.
Maybe Jim's going to help you with your math issue. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I am AM and the PM.
Hallelujah. What's up?
Frank, this has nothing to do with math, but this kind of...
Jim, we lost you there. You turned away and we didn't hear anything you said.
Okay, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, there you go.
Okay, 11 years ago, me and my wife went downtown to City Hall to get a marriage license. I had a pocket knife in my pocket. I went through the metal detector and they stopped me. They took the knife and said, I cannot have it back. They were confiscating my $30
Jim,
pocket
knife. Jim,
yes.
Jim, let me.
Yes, sir.
Whatever you're doing, you're really nice and clear, and then you turn away and we lose you. So I don't know what you're doing, but stay right on that phone if you could for us, because I like the story. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Okay, here I go.
There you go.
We went downtown to City Hall to get a marriage license.
Right.
Okay, 11 years ago, I walked through the metal detector with a pocket knife in my pocket. I forgot to leave it in the car. They confiscated my $30 pocket knife. I liked it. That was a great knife. I said, well, can I get it back when we leave? They said, no, sir. We're confiscating it. I said, oh, no, you're not. I said, let me talk to your supervisor or something. So they went and got a supervisor. These are guards or whatever down at City Hall here in St. Louis. The supervisor comes in and says, what's the problem? He says, well, this man don't like the fact that we're going to confiscate his pocket knife. And the supervisor said, oh, well, handcuff him and take him to the back room and book him.
What?
So, yes, sir.
Seems a bit extreme.
Whoa.
Yes, sir. And the whole time, my girlfriend's sitting on the bench there off to the side. She's beginning to get upset and starting to cry a little bit. They handcuffed me right there at the little metal detector right out in the front of the city hall there. And take me to the back room, spend 30, 45 minutes taking all my information down, and they write me a citation or an order to appear anyway, or something like that. A month later, we get the, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. We got the marriage license. I went home. We went home. And a month later, I show up at the courthouse, and the courthouse has absolutely no information on the citation that these buffoons wrote me at City Hall. So basically,
like it never happened.
Exactly. They were just trying to intimidate me. I never did get my $30 knife back, and I guess these upstanding St. Louis guards took my knife and everybody else's knife, I guess, who comes through those gates and forgets to take the pocket knife out. It boiled my blood ever since.
Is there a sign or notice anywhere that it says if these items are found, they'll be confiscated, not returned? Is there any kind of sign like that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Gosh, Jim. I've been to a couple of federal buildings where they say you're not allowed to have knives on the door as you walk in, but I've never seen anything that says like they'll be confiscated if found. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I've never heard of that either. Normally, as you're leaving, they give it back to you. That's somebody wanted a knife. Somebody needed a pocket knife, and got one.
I went to all kinds of different offices in the courthouse that day, and nobody had any information on that. The number on that ticket, on that
based on the way you told that story, can I tell you, do you mind if I tell you what I think part of your problem might have been?
Yeah, what?
When you said to me that when the guy says, I'm sorry, we're going to keep your knife, and you said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, right. They didn't like that. If that's the way you did it, that, I think, was where your problem started. They want to be respected because they're security guards. And when you mouth off to them, they're going to teach you a lesson.
John said he can answer his question. John, okay. That's on the phone.
Jim, thank you. Thank you for the story. It's a good story and a bad story.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right,
let's go to, you too. Let's go to John. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Well, hello, Frank. AM the PM as always.
Thank you, John. We've heard from John
before.
You're
very welcome.
John knows a thing or two about this stuff. Go ahead, John.
Well, it turns out I was paying a traffic violation down at one of the municipal courts downtown, and they had a glass case hanging on the wall of everything they had confiscated from people trying to get in. Mm-hmm. Brass knuckles.
Wow.
Knives at least 10 inches long.
John, let me give people an idea of what that looks like. 10 inches. That's a long blade. Here, watch. That's right there. That's 10 inches. That's a long knife blade.
Okay, great. But, I mean, it was amazing the amount of things that people tried to, just probably forgot. But I don't know how you could forget a knife like that.
Okay, but the point is, when you see that, you know that's like a notice saying if we get it, we're keeping it. Because here are the ones we've kept.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they're city marshals down there at City Hall. They're not actually police officers or anything, so I don't know what jurisdiction they have. But I'm sure if the guy would have said, no, you're not going to keep it, I'm sure he could have gone some other way to say, hey, can I get this back? And, here you go. We'll meet you outside.
Not to dump on Jim, but I think there's a lot. Look, the way you talk to people. Has a lot to do with the way they're going to treat you. Yes, especially if they're an authority figure of some sort or think they are. Mm-hmm. All right, John, I appreciate the call, as always.
You're very welcome. Bye
Thank
now.
You. Bye-bye. Well, let's talk to Brian because he's on hold, so I don't like people to have to hold too long. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's up?
AM and the PM, thanks for taking me. So do you guys remember a movie that came out many years ago? We're talking about kind of employees being authoritative. I don't know if this was a true story, but they claim it was, about the fast food worker. A guy called into the manager after he got his food from them and claimed that she stole his money, and they ended up strip searching the employee.
Yes. Yes.
It was all done over the phone, and supposedly that really happened.
No, that like really did happen. I never actually saw the movie, but I watched
some
of the security video.
It's really disturbing.
And
really.
The manager, I think he also got prosecuted of the restaurant because this person was calling up saying, okay, strip search her, now get her to jump up and down, do jumping jacks, all while naked. And the manager was quite happily making this employee do this and staring at her the entire time. And this whole thing was taken from security footage. Now, of course, they blocked out the part where she got naked. But you can see where, I mean, this caller is just making these stupid, outrageous, and dumb claims. And the manager is just jumping on it and saying, okay, yeah, we'll do it. And nobody actually called a real police officer for hours.
Can I just give you my initial reaction to this? First of all, what kind of woman does that because the manager is told by somebody on the phone to take her clothes off?
In her defense, she was only like 16 or 17. I mean, she was a kid at the time, and her manager was in his mid-40s. When you're a kid, that's pretty intimidating. Once she was locked in that office, I can imagine it was like, you know, a Matt Lauer situation. You know, like, oh, I better do this or else.
Well, I would like to think
that
most...
Next time you have a movie guy on, ask him the title, because... Frank, it's really disturbing. And
somebody will know. We'll get a call. Somebody will
know. My wife thought it was a setup, but I researched it, and it really did happen. And they found the caller. They actually traced the call. They found him, and he had gotten his food to go, and he just did it for fun. But he had he was on the phone for 2 hours.
Wow, man.
With the manager, and they had the girl locked in a closet naked.
I mean,
here's my question. How does he get off on that? Because he doesn't get to see it. He's on the phone.
I think he just had fun doing it.
Yeah.
He just had fun doing it. He had tried to do it before, so crazy people out there.
Brian, the film's name is Compliance. It came out in 2012.
Yeah, I don't know if it's all true, Tim. I have no idea, but it was a crazy movie.
It says it's a thriller film, and it's based on a strip search phone call scam that took place in Kentucky, in which the caller posing as a police officer convinced a restaurant manager to carry out unlawful and intrusive procedures on an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I forgot that he was a cop. I forgot that. Then.
Well, that manager is the most gullible, stupid manager that ever lived. To take the word over the phone from somebody that you're right then, red flag, red flag, red flag. The guy's an idiot. Yeah. And the poor girl, I don't want to call her stupid, but I would like to think most 15, 16 year old girls, if they're called in an office, especially these days, after Me Too and whatever,
right,
and the manager said, I need you to take your clothes off and jump up and down, go to hell, call the police. I'll call the police if I were the girl. Yeah, I don't think that would happen with most girls. Compliance. Okay, we'll.
We'll talk to you guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. Can I have the theme music for Mr. Longo?
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
His daddy had the same name. That's the name on, I almost said the dealership, on the dealership's plural. Now that there is a St. Peter's location, the Autoplex, where they sell only fine pre-owned vehicles. Let's say hello once again for the, I don't know, something thousandth time over the last 15 years to John Londoff. Hello, John.
Frank, you good-looking son of a gun, you. Man.
Why would you
start
with
that? I'm just telling you. You know, I haven't seen you in a few days, but I could... it's an indelible vision. I have it. You know what? I'm gonna pull up the website. Then I can take a look at you while we're talking. How about that?
That picture's a few years old. I don't look that good anymore.
You look better.
You're
like a fine one. You get better with age, buddy.
Can we have a temporary sort of semi-serious discussion here? Because you and I talked earlier this morning, and if we have a little time later, I was going to go around the room here and just ask everybody here to just off the top of your head, name a couple of businesses that you see benefiting from the coronavirus, and there are some that will.
Oh, yeah.
And then a couple of businesses where it's going to devastate the business. And so we started talking, and I said to you, and I think you agree, anybody out there who says, the coronavirus is not really going to affect me, you are naive and you are not very bright. It's going to affect everybody, and it's going to affect almost every business in either a positive way or a negative way, most businesses in a negative way. And I say that because obviously pharmaceutical companies, there'll be some benefit to all this. People that sell certain products will see, delivery services will see a surge like they weren't already doing well enough because people will want things delivered to their home. It's going to affect the automobile business, right? It has to.
Yes. I mean, a lot of our suppliers, are, manufacturing facilities in China. We have plants in South Korea. We have, plants in Canada, besides the U.S. It's not only a production facility. Where do those thousands and thousands of parts, where do they come from, for production? Let me just remind you that, the strike with General Motors and the UAW, which, I hate to say, nobody wins. Especially when they go that long, nobody wins. And I don't know, really point a finger at either General Motors or the UAW. It was, a joint effort. But, we're still feeling the effects of that. And that was settled months ago. But you just don't open up the plant, put a few, hit a few toggle switches and get the juice going again and say, all right, let's start producing cars this morning. I mean, it takes weeks to get that facility back up to where it was, when it was shut down. So, our pre-owned departments with both stores, more and more people are really into, buying a 1 or 2 year old pre-owned vehicle, or a 3 or 4 year old pre-owned vehicle, or then a 10, 11 year old pre-owned vehicle and keeping the miles off of that new Chevy, that they bought from us by driving that 10-year-old vehicle back and forth to work. It's affecting us. Our service department's booming, we're wiping down steering wheels. We're being very precautionary. We're very personal. It's a face-to-face contact. Now, until we can figure out how to jam a car or a truck through a computer screen and have it just bloop, pop right there, in your driveway or at your office, we do a lot of concierge, so we take a lot of vehicles out to people's homes, their businesses, especially a lot of our businesses buy, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 plus vehicles a year. The great AM and the PM listeners, there are some that have bought several vehicles. Now it's like, we'll do this over the phone, we'll do it through email, and then we'll deliver it to you. And now we'll deliver it to you with the driver will probably have gloves on.
Isn't that unbelievable what's happened in just the last couple of months? I mean, it's just incredible to me. But you already answered a question I was going to ask you, and that was, if, let's say, a senior citizen who does not want to go out but needs a car and goes online, would you actually just deliver it to them? And you've already answered that. And the answer is yes, you'd do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, we would. We'll do pretty much whatever it takes. All right. And every customer is different. We are all so different. It's what makes this world of ours so unbelievable. But yet then we're all so much alike. We want to be respected, taken care of, pampered, let's say. And something like this that we've never experienced in our lives, we still don't know where it's going. I think there's many more questions than answers. But obviously, we're going to stay open. We're going to be as germ-free as possible. We're telling a lot of our employees. We've told, we've got a few germaphobes around here. I'm not a major one, and neither is my wife Mimi. She's a nurse. but you got to wash your hands. I mean, I sometimes am like, I feel like I'm a surgeon as many times as I wash my hands. I just wash my hands a lot. And how many times have you guys, and the male listeners, I'm sure the ladies that are listening, if you're in a public, bathroom, and you see someone, and they don't wash their hands, you almost want to say, wash your hands. And this is before this situation. And then, you can't just, if you haven't washed your hands in a while, and you shook some hands, which you probably shouldn't be shaking hands right now. You shouldn't be hugging someone, unless it's your wife, okay? I told me, I'm like,
Or your girlfriend, wife and girlfriend. You can hug both of them. Yeah. I'm still shaking hands. I have not curbed in any way the way I'm living. That's probably stupid, but I'm not. Maybe the word overreacting is not the right word. Maybe I'm not even reacting the way I should. But I just am not.
How many hands letting, do you shake?
Oh, not anywhere near as many as you do. 4 or 5 a day average, maybe.
In the morning, I'm shaking my service advisors, my customers, the management, the salespeople. Then I'll go back in the shop, in the afternoon. And, the great thing about some of the greatest teammates of mine, the technicians, and they work with their hands every day, 5-6 days a week, and their hands sometimes are dirty, and they'll always have a shop rag, right? And they'll all say, "Oh, boss, you don't want to shake my hand." I'm like, "Man, give me your hand. I want to shake your hand." I'm probably okay to shake their hands because they have sometimes so much build up that there's nothing that's going to get through. But most of them are young and in really good shape. But I just can tell you that. It's something that we're going to work through. I don't know if I can say this any longer. I was saying it's really totally being sensationalized. When the NBA shut down, I'm like, God, I'm not a big NBA guy. I love college basketball. I mean, they're unbelievable athletes, the pro game. But it's just like, you can watch the last 5 to 10 minutes and you've seen the whole game. But you might have missed some unbelievable plays that you look and say, how did he do that? Or how did she do that in the female league? But, when it hit hockey, doggone it, now it's hitting home. Okay, now it's hitting home. Yeah. So I've been trying to make arrangements for a lunch or a dinner with Coach Berube. I haven't texted him yet, but I'm like, well, I guess we're pretty wide open now. and then these pro athletes, how are they going to stay in shape with just so many games remaining before the playoffs start? But that more concerning is the health of all of us, and just the precautionary thing is key. But we've been very precautionary here at Lawndorf Chevrolet for a long, long time. There's dispensers of hand sanitizers, and I think I've told you this story. I don't know if I've told others. When Purell first came out 20 years ago in Mimi, nurse, she's like, "Hey, you shake a lot of hands. Every time you shake someone's hand, go into your office and wipe it down with this Purell." So I just shook a couple of hands. I go into the office. It was my top right hand drawer at the time, and it was about a medium sized tube. My dad comes walking in my office. I had just finished wiping my hands together. Right, it's alcohol based. I swear, I thought part time. Sometimes my dad, whose nose was about the size of mine, not as big, I don't think it had been broken as many times, he comes walking in, he's like a beagle, he's like sniffing it, "What's that smell?" I'm like, he goes, "You've been drinking? You better not." I'm like, "No, I wasn't drinking." And I'm like,
right.
So then I hand it to him, he sniffs it, right, he lifts the cap, he sniffs it, I explain what it is, he kind of reads it, and he goes, "Can Mimi get you some more?" I'm like, "Yes." He goes, "Good." He walked out with my bottle of Purell. I called Mimi. I'm like, "Well, I hope you bought some more, because my dad just..." And he fell in love with that stuff. He had it everywhere. You go to lunch with him, dinner, he'd like put your hand out, and he would put it and make sure that everybody at the table. So I could kind of look at my dad as being kind of a germaphobe, but there's nothing wrong with washing your hands a lot during the day and using hand sanitizer. And using wipes,
I'm never going to be the person to go just crazy worrying about touching this or that. But not long ago, we were all talking about things you don't realize that you touch that lots of other people have touched. Not the obvious things, like keypad at a, or a casino game. Or, but when you're in a restaurant, and I'll just ask you, think about it for a second, and then you tell me, what is the one item that we all don't think twice about that's probably the thing that has more germs on it than anything? And we don't, and we touch it, and we just keep eating and put a piece of bread in our mouth and don't think about it at all. What do you think it is? The salt and pepper shaker. The salt and pepper shakers.
Oh, wow.
I don't believe for a minute that after every customer leaves the restaurant, somebody goes around and wipes down every salt and pepper shaker. And I picked one up, and it had nothing to do with coronavirus, just like a year ago. But I was in the casino at the buffet. And the minute I picked it up, I looked around me at all these different kinds of people. And I thought, these are all the people, and people like them, who've been handling the salt shaker. And it's just, I never thought about it before, but that's an obvious one. And so you can't, you know, there's nothing you can do to completely protect yourself. But I do think, unfortunately, that I was one of the ones in the beginning who thought, there's a few cases overseas, they'll nip it in the bud, and that'll be, I was wrong. This is huge. This, we're looking at our version of the bubonic plague, or maybe, and again, I don't want to over-exaggerate. We may be looking at a situation economically like the Depression of the 20s.
Can't compare, because first of all, the number of people,
right,
the number of human beings on this planet, but the advanced in medicine. So
correct.
I'm putting my faith and my heart and my prayers in the U.S. of A., the United States of America, and the CDC, and also the French medical. They are amazing at coming up with, you know, vaccines. And then, you know, having, first of all, do we even know how many test devices we have and how quickly we're able to get more? You know, so, you know, for now, you know, don't be hugging on strangers. Don't watch, you know, I mean, I think, you know, and even I've heard that you probably shouldn't even be fist pumping in case someone sneezed into their hand. So, God almighty, it's just unbelievable. I was one of the ones a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, you know, and first of all, we should look and see how many people in this country, unfortunately, die of just our flu in the cold and flu season. Okay, and if you took a look at the numbers, you're like, okay, why haven't we been talking about washing our hands and using hand sanitizers and wiping things down, you know, wiping the inside of airplanes down? I mean, all the things that need to, you know, we need to do to keep from, you know, contracting a virus. But, you know, as always, you know, we'll get through this. We will get through it.
I think what people need to, I think the mindset of everybody, all of us, should be this. We made it through the swine flu. We made it through the bird flu. We made it through the West Nile virus.
Made it
through. We survived 9/11. And all of those horrible events, 9/11, obviously not a virus, but in many cases it took a long time to recover. But here we are. We recovered. It was devastating to some people, not as much so to others, beneficial to a few. We'll make it. We just will. It's going to be very painful, and it's going to be worse than we thought. But we'll make it.
And that's why I'm going to tell you, my friend, not just a friend, but also I consider a big partner in business. That's why we need you to keep us laughing, because, you know, we can get serious about this, because we should, but we need to laugh, man. We need to laugh and, you know, make jokes. I don't think your crew should make fun of you. I mean, you are paying them, so I mean, they should be nice to you.
Couldn't agree with you more.
We never make fun of Frank.
Oh, you do.
Well, listen, the day that we read or see on the screen, social media, networking, the day that we see things like car dealers are shutting down and closing, we're at a level of trouble we can't even fathom. I hope we don't ever see that. I get the stadiums and I get the game. I think that's probably smart. I get that. And in time, what will happen will be what happened in 2009 and into 2010 with the swine flu, where after about a year, year and a half, they actually could show the numbers decreasing, till it was kind of virtually gone. And that's what will happen. It's just a matter of how long is it going to take. So we just have to help each other out as best we can. We intend to be here and tell everybody at least one good joke every day. But our fate is in the hands of this thing, too. And I mentioned this yesterday. As exaggerated as this might sound, this coronavirus could put an end to this show. It could put an end to lots of forms of entertainment when the people don't have the revenue coming in to be paid. It could.
I think that we'll be making some adjustments, and I think there'll be more from our government, and maybe maybe we can get Congress and Senate to get their you know what together. And first of all, I'm so sick and tired of the media. Really, you guys aren't media. You're entertainment. All right, and the good, clean, funny entertainment makes me laugh. And it's like. You know, as president, he can't do anything right. But, I guarantee he's not a dummy. Okay, he's not. Might be a little different.
Rough around the edges.
This is not a time for the Trump haters or lovers to let that influence how this thing is dealt
with. That's what I was. Time to get the country together is one, and say, okay, what are we going to do? All right. Where can we stop wasting money? Our taxpayer dollars, ladies and gentlemen, if we had any idea sometimes what our government spends when they buy something.
No, we'd be furious. Yes,
absolutely furious.
And hey, John, as an American car salesman, the one good thing I'll say about the coronavirus as it pertains to you is tell your folks, don't worry, the coronavirus won't last long because it was made in China.
Well, I can tell you. That's a funny fact because the Chinese are just now they're just now being allowed to buy vehicles, okay? And for years they couldn't, and then for years they weren't manufacturing vehicles that were safe enough to be driven. I mean, their safety standards are pathetic.
Dangerous. So,
and I find interesting? Is there a Chinese car? We have Korean cars, Japanese car. Is there a Chinese car? I don't think there is. Is there sold in this country?
As far as I'm concerned, are there any other afternoon radio shows? No.
Oh, there you go. This guy.
All right.
You know what? I can tell you this much.
Chicken butt.
5 cents cut.
Dipped in grease.
Want a piece?
He's like Sonny and Cher.
Except for the talent. They had talent. We don't. I think we need now is a phone number.
Well, it's 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. That's 314-837-1800. Or the Johnny Landoff Autoplex, 636-706-5700. 636-706-5700.
Okay.
2365 at Landoff.com. And
right, you'll sell some cars to some AM and the PM people.
Tell Scott hello.
All right.
We'll Scott, and Dan and Tim, you're both big hockey guys. You might just want to, you can't hug because we're not touching, but just get a feel sorry because Scott's a big Detroit Red Wing fan. And they're tough to watch. They're all the years that they used to beat us, we were in the same division. I hated them except for Steve Yzerman. I always loved Steve Yzerman. Just throw that out there to Scott about the old Red Wings. Have a great rest of the show.
All right. You too, John. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There he goes, John Lundlof. Right. And he mentioned Scott Sherman. Scott, the next hour pretty much belongs to Scott Sherman and to you if you need any legal advice. It's real simple. Here's how it works. He's an attorney, and for over 4 years now, I guess we're hitting 5 years, he has given out some terrific advice to people, legal advice at no charge, and that's what he'll do for you today. And if he can't help you himself, he will refer to you to somebody who can. And what happens today won't cost you a penny. So I'm going to give you the numbers now. Tim's going to do the news, and I'll maybe do a commercial, and then it's all Scott's and yours. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I know that wasn't much of a Burke segment, but I don't know. I think it's sort of important. We're here to have fun. But we need to talk about this thing, because I'm not kidding when I tell you it is going to have a devastating effect on a lot of business. And the entertainment business, which we're a part of, is going to benefit, I'll tell you how later, and then be devastated at the same time, depending on what form of this business that you're in. All right, I'm looking at the clock that is set and checked by Tim Woodburn, and I see it's time to take a break. We come back, be ready for Scott Sherman to help you with your legal issues. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
The 590 The Fan app. Download it today in your app store. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bill Trefiro. It's another record-setting day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost more than 2,100 points, the biggest single-day point loss. At the New York Stock Exchange, NBC News' David Gura says futures indicated that the market was going to go down at the opening bell.
For the second time this week, the circuit breaker was activated because the market dropped so quickly. There was a 15-minute pause.